This is perhaps one of the least responsible purchases I have ever made. But I don't know if I even care. Hello, bad data people. I'm joining you today from inside the new bad data hot tub, which I've installed on my back patio. Today, we're hopping through time in our hot tub data time machine, searching for data stories from 1, 10, 50, 100 years ago. So put on your swimsuits. This is a family-friendly episode this week, I promise. No skinny dipping. Sound effects make it stop, Jason. Sorry about that. I thought that'd be fun and cool, but it wasn't. I'm sorry. Welcome back in time to 2020. It's mid-November. Our local Blue Valley School District just recorded nearly 90 COVID cases after a grand old Halloween party season. Masks are everywhere. Mask mandates are everywhere. And folks are starting to get excited about vaccines. Well, some folks are anyway. I was. It's funny to think about how so much and so little can change at the same time. I mean, it took about a year, but we've managed to vaccinate about 60% of the U.S. population for COVID in 2021, which is actually pretty close to what we see for vaccination uptake for two-year-olds. Like, we usually get maybe 69 or 70% of two-year-olds being current on all of their shots. Some diseases are scarier than others. So, for example, we do get at least 90% of two-year-olds are vaccinated for polio or mumps or measles, hepatitis, chickenpox. So one thing that is different from a year ago is that we have COVID vaccines and that more people are getting them than usually get an annual flu shot. But strangely, another thing that's changed is that fewer people are getting the flu shot, like a lot fewer. Like, childhood flu shots are down nearly 10% in 2021 versus 2020. And adult flu shots are 36% lower in 2021 compared to 2020. My hot take is that all the broader anti-vax attitude being spread in conservative circles, it can take all the credit for that. It's basically made vaccinating for anything less cool. So, also, in 2020, politically, this time a year ago, we were watching the Trump and Biden vote counting show, which, as we know now, ended up with a 7 million vote victory for Biden. Sad fact, in two states, more people have died from COVID than were in the vote spread between Trump and Biden. So, yes, you guessed it, in Arizona, the final vote lead for Biden was 10,457 votes, and over 21,000 people have died of COVID in Arizona. And in Georgia, the final vote lead for Biden was 11,779 votes. Nearly 30,000 have died of COVID in Georgia. Not that COVID would have flipped those states to Trump, of course, because we also know that there's three times as many people dying of COVID in Trump voting counties than in Biden voting counties. But it is interesting to think about how upside down conservative policy has been about COVID vaccines. Like, here's some really messed up math for you. So let's say that vaccine preferences were reversed and Democrats were dying three times faster than Republicans from COVID. And let's say that the pandemic started a year earlier. So to all that death had already happened by Election Day 2020. In Arizona, Trump would have won by a few hundred votes. In Georgia, Trump would have won by a few thousand votes. 27 Electoral College votes would have moved from Biden to Trump, which would have put things at 279 to 259 in the Electoral College. So I guess not quite enough to flip the script completely. But all the same, it's a really good reminder of the practical implications of things like public health policy. But moving on, I'm kind of anxious to get out of this year. I'm not enjoying it. If I was going to grade each year, I'd give 2020 a D, and I'd probably give 2021 a C minus. Like, things are getting better, I'm not sick, but I'm not dead, but there's still a whole lot of crap going on. So we're going to hop back in the hot tub and go to 2011. Okay, I'm kind of getting used to the sound effect. I may keep it. We'll see here. So 2011, you're all going to feel really old after hearing some of these little tidbits. So 2011... let's see, it was the year of the Arab Spring. The Syrian Civil War was just beginning, and that's still going on right now, today, in 2021, by the way. So to anyone who's harboring ideas like, this country needs a civil war to refresh the Tree of Liberty, or other crap like that, just think about living in a constant state of conflict for a decade, and whether that's really something that you want in your life. Anyway, so what else was going on in 2011? So almost exactly 10 years ago, Minecraft was released. That's right. There was a time before your kids were hooked on Minecraft. We had a relatively normal flu season. Flu shots were about 50% effective. About 40% of people got them. Those flu strains, by the way, that we get those shots for every year, they are all direct descendants of the 1918 pandemic flu, the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu never went away. We just got tired of talking about it. We'll get back to that a little bit later, but it sounds kind of familiar. Oh, and here's another fun one. Only 10 years ago, less than a third of Americans had a smartphone. Instagram didn't exist yet. Bitcoin cost 25 cents. That's right. You could have paid for 4 kids' college educations by buying a dollar of Bitcoin 10 years ago. You probably were not paying attention to Bitcoin, though, unless you were interested in buying drugs or something. You probably also weren't paying attention to carbon dioxide emissions all that much. CO2 particles were 392 parts per million, which is 6% lower than it is today. And it's 6% higher than it was 10 years earlier in 2001, for what it's worth. So your dollar has lost 18% of its purchasing power over the past 10 years due to inflation. So that means that if your income didn't grow at least 18%, you're actually worse off than you thought. And American politics, they're still bad, but they're not anything close to what we're suffering through today. It was Joe Manchin's first term as a U.S. senator in 2011. Incidentally, did you know that Senator Manchin receives over $500,000 per year in dividends from a coal brokerage firm that he started back in the 80s. True story. He does quite well off of coal, thank you very much. It was also Mitch McConnell's 400th term as a U.S. senator. Okay, not quite that bad, but it was his 27th year in the U.S. Senate. I am going to guess that he was not in the 30% of Americans with a smartphone. So overall, I'm going to give 2011 a solid B. We weren't turning upside down quite yet. But enough about that. Let's hop back in the tub. No sound effect this time, I promise. And we'll head back to a time before I was born. 1971, 50 years ago. Holy crap. 50 years ago this week, Led Zeppelin's 4th studio album was released. Also, Intel released its first microprocessor, the Intel 4004. For any other tech geeks out there, the 4004 was a 4-bit processor with a little over 2,000 transistors. Now, for comparison, that color-changing smart bulb you picked up at Walmart for $10, that light bulb has a 32-bit $4 microprocessor with a built-in Wi-Fi antenna, half a gig of memory, and is 8 millimeters square in size. So a lot can change in 50 years. Back in the realm of public health, it has started for me getting a little more difficult for me to find detailed data about things like the flu and whatnot, but it's not impossible. The CDC does publish annual surveillance reports. Some of them are just like an old scanned in PDF documents, but they've been doing it for a long time now. The flu vaccine was a very different beast back then. It was a 2-dose regimen, not the one dose, that the one shot that we get right now. They were spaced 6 to 8 weeks apart. They're only recommended for elderly and for people with chronic conditions. And even today in 2021, different countries still have different recommendations about who should receive a flu shot. It's only in the U.S. and parts of Canada that there's universal vaccination recommendations. For most of the rest of the world, they really only try to promote the flu shot for ages over 65, for young kids, and for people that have some sort of an immunocompromised or other risk factor. You know, I didn't know a lot of this until I started doing research for this episode. One of the other things I learned about the CDC's original goal was to fight malaria, which was an endemic disease in the southern United States, which is why the CDC is in Atlanta. Their core strategy for eradicating malaria, I kid you not, was spraying millions of houses with DDT. But you know what? It actually worked, and we no longer have malaria in this country. Now, the CDC hadn't been in the immunization business for maybe a decade or so here in 1971. And so we just didn't have as many vaccines back then to keep track of. But we also had miserable vaccination rates compared to today. Like, let's take the MMR vaccine, for example, mumps, measles, and rubella. Today, over 90% of Americans have been vaccinated against measles. But back in 71, that number was closer to 60%. Same goes for diphtheria, pertussis, polio. So from one perspective, seeing how long it's taken the community at large to accept some of those more well-established and less controversial vaccines, the fact that we've been able to get 70% vaccination rates for COVID in 2021 in basically less than a year, it's actually kind of impressive. Now, you also can't really talk about the early 70s without mentioning Vietnam. Vietnam is before my time, so I can't really share any firsthand memories or experiences here. But over 56,000 Americans had died in Vietnam at the end of 1971. And we are still a good 3 years away from the fall of Saigon. But for perspective, more people died in the U.S. from COVID in the first 2 months of the pandemic than in the entire Vietnam War. You may have heard some similar comparisons elsewhere. Overall, I'm going to give 1971 a C-, I think. Okay. We have one last stop in the hot tub. We're going to head back to 1921, 100 years ago today, 1 year after the end of the Spanish flu pandemic. Well, this is great. I'm so glad I came here. But let me just say that life is not that great in 1921. Let's see. I've got Adolf Hitler's brown shirts are assaulting his opposition over in Germany, where they're also suffering extreme hyperinflation. There are price riots in Vienna. We've got a Russian famine going on. Something like 5 million people are going to starve to death in Russia this year. FDR is recovering from polio. And the total death rate is 29% higher than in 2021. That's right. So per capita every year, 29% more people die in 1921 than in 2021. And this is an improvement. It was even worse for the previous few years during the Spanish flu, which, of course, as we know, was not actually Spanish, but whatever. So even better, there are so many more ways that you've got a non-zero chance of dying. Like, how about diphtheria again? So in 1921, you were more likely to die from diphtheria than your modern chances of dying from breast cancer. In fact, there are only three diseases today in 2021 that have a higher risk of killing you than they did 100 years ago. Diabetes, homicide, and suicide. You're even less likely to die today from an accident than you were in 1921. But without actually having lived through the Spanish flu, it's really hard to appreciate its impact, like the size of it. So the death rate from influenza and pneumonia was up nearly 500% from 1917 to 1918. It was 28% of all death in the United States in 1918. It was the number one killer in 1918. So by comparison, COVID, not that bad, right? So it's only been 11% or so of deaths in 2020. I mean, it's still bad. It's still a top three killer, but it's also just kind of like holding the flu's beer in some ways. So by 1921, it was back down the death rate was back down to around 5% or so of deaths that it was normally contributing in America. It was kind of the trading range for flu death for decades. You know, 5% of deaths from the flu in a good year, 10% in a bad one, 20% plus in a pandemic year. That range continued until a bit after World War II, when it started declining. And just coincidentally, a lot of other infectious diseases, their death rates started declining gradually over time then as well. And malaria. Remember how I mentioned the CDC got its start with malaria in the southern U.S.? That's because, like, in 1921, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, basically the entire southeast region as a whole, more people were dying from malaria than die today from diabetes or heart failure. Like, it was a big deal. So I described 1921 as being a year after the end of the Spanish flu pandemic, which is sort of correct, but it's also just flat out false. The disease burden from flu was back to normal. So everybody had basically already been exposed and either died or survived. But there was no moment where humanity worldwide had declared victory over the pandemic. We didn't have a United Nations. We didn't have the World Health Organization. There weren't really any global standards on what is a pandemic. So what happened? Basically, we endured four waves of disease, and a fifth wave didn't come. And so we just stopped talking about it. And so the flu just sort of faded away into the background. So there's been tons of research over the past century trying to understand the Spanish flu better, including like some epidemic modeling to try to identify like what are the core, like the root causes of the multiple waves of flu. And they've basically concluded there's three factors. There's temperature, which affected the transmissibility of the disease. There were school openings and closings, which affected, as happens today with COVID, proximity of kids to each other in closed spaces, which then increases transmissibility and the ability to spread that virus inside of households, and changes in human behavior. So basically, were societies in phases where they were or were not masking or being careful. So we still argue about the relative importance of these factors in COVID, but I think we're going to find in the long run that it's basically the same thing. So overall, I'm going to give 1921 a solid D minus. It's got flu pandemic. It's got malaria. It's got Hitler. I should be thankful. I didn't have to give it an F. And with that, thank you for joining me on this brief data history tour. If you'd like to keep up with my other data ramblings, you can always find more stuff at baddatapod.com or on Facebook at baddatapod. Until next time, I'm Jason Anderson, headed back to the hot tub. Wow, I should have gotten the cup.